चतुर्थं श्रवयाम आस महाराजं हरिष्कृतं रयो पवित्रं गङ्गायां हरितं परमर्षिभिः। Shukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, in his turn delivered the Bhagavatam to the great emperor Parikshit, who sat surrounded by sages on the bank of the Ganges, awaiting death without taking food or drink. Support by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. All transcendental messages are received properly in the chain of disciplic succession. This disciplic succession is called parampara. Unless therefore Bhagavatam or any other Vedic literature are received through the parampara system, the deception of knowledge is not bona fide. Vyasadeva delivered the message to Sukadeva Goswami, and from Sukadeva Goswami, Suta Goswami received the message. One should therefore receive the message of Bhagavatam from Suta Goswami or from his representative, and not from any irrelevant interpreter. Emperor Parikshit received the information of his death in time, and he at once left his kingdom and family and sat down on the bank of the Ganges to fast till death. All great sages, rishis, philosophers, mystics, etc., went there to his imperial position. They offered many suggestions about his immediate duty, and at last it was settled that he would hear from Shukadeva Goswami about Lord Krishna. Thus, the Bhagavatam was spoken to him. Sripad Shankaracharya, who preached Mayavad philosophy and stressed the impersonal feature of the Absolute, also recommended that one must take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, for there is no hope of gain from devating. Indirectly, Sripad Shankaracharya had admitted that what he had preached in the flowery grammatical interpretations of the Vedanta Sutra cannot help one at the time of death. At the critical hour of death, one must recite the name of Govinda. This is the recommendation of all great transcendentalists. Sukadeva Goswami had long ago stated the same truth, that at the end one must remember Narayana. That is the essence of all spiritual activities. In pursuance of this eternal truth, Srimad Bhagavatam was heard by Emperor Parikshit, and it was recited by the able Sukadeva Goswami, and both the speaker and the receiver of the messages of Bhagavatam were duly delivered by the same medium. In the previous verses, the line of disciplic succession in which Srimad Bhagavatam was propounded is being explained. Srila Narada Muni heard this message from Lord Brahma, who heard it directly from Lord Krishna at the dawn of creation. Narada Muni explained this transcendental science to Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva found no one more suitable than his own dear son, Shukadev Goswami, to entrust this message with. Shukadev Goswami, from his very presence within the womb of his mother, was a perfectly liberated soul who had utterly no attraction for anything of this world. However, by the grace of Vyasadeva, his father, he later on developed an insatiable, unlimited eagerness to hear the glories of Lord Krishna. It is explained in this verse that Maharaj Parikshit was cursed to die in 7 days. Upon hearing this good news, he became very excited and enlivened to perfect his life. Srila Prabhupada, in his beautiful purport, explains that Emperor Parikshit received the information of his death in time. And he at once left his kingdom and family and sat down on the bank of the Ganges to fast till death. Very interesting how Prabhupada said he received the information of his death in time. In other words, he was given the opportunity to perfectly prepare himself for that moment, which Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport to be the very most important goal in life, is to remember Krishna at the time of death. Life in this world is so temporary, full of uncertainties. The purpose of human life is to live in such a way that we never have to take birth again in this material world. In order to have that conviction, there must be deep and profound faith. We may speak that this material world is a place of miseries, and if I simply remember Krishna at the time of death, I will be promoted to Vrindavan, the spiritual world, where everything is eternal, full of knowledge, full of joy. However, because the allurements of Maya are so powerful and her propaganda to keep us attached to this world is so complete, it's very, very difficult to actually, within our hearts, have faith that we really do want to get out of this world. We have our little abode. We have our bodies, we have our enjoyments, we may have family members. We're attached. We don't want to leave this world. And is there actually a spiritual world? We've been talking about it, we've been singing about it, but do I really have that faith? The Prabhupada, in the early 70s, he was sitting with some of his leaders in Los Angeles. And he asked them, looking right in their eyes, "Do you have complete faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead?" Now, if one of us were to ask someone else, the devotee would say, "Of course I have faith." But when such an acharya, as Srila Prabhupada, is looking in your eyes, seeing your very soul and everything in between. And he's asking you, do you have complete faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? There wasn't a single of the leaders of ISKCON that could say yes. Everyone simply remained silent. Then Srila Prabhupada gave those immortal words that if only the few people we have in our movement now had faith in Krishna, that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we could make the entire world Krishna conscious in 18 days. That's how long it took for Krishna to empower the Pandavas to conquer all the illusory manipulations of the Kurus and rule the world. But that same thing will happen today. Arjuna had that faith. So Maharaj Parikshit, he got the news that he was going to die on time. Similarly, we see people who have some attachment to food, attachment to sex, attachment to wealth and money, attachment to facility, attachment to power or control. It becomes very, very difficult to live without it once you have it. Actually, most of life is not spent trying to get something we don't have. Most of life is, our energy is just trying to hold on to the little bit we do have and trying to get something more as well. It's like people work very hard occupationally because they want a new car or they want some new facilities or they need new clothes. But actually, the major portion of the average person's working is just to maintain what they have, to somehow maintain their health, to maintain their place of residence, to maintain their car, to maintain their wife, to maintain their children. It's such a struggle. Brahma is the creator. Creation is not so difficult. Shiva, the destroyer. That's not very difficult either. But no one but Vishnu himself can maintain. Similarly, a temple. It was a struggle to build Sri Sri Radharas Vihara. And it would be very easy to destroy it. However, it's incredibly difficult to maintain it. I think many of you have this experience. Throughout your life, throughout generations, against all odds, because the nature of this world is the influence of Rajaguna and Tamaguna is always trying to diversify and destroy whatever good is there. How to maintain? It's only possible if we pray helplessly at the lotus feet of Vishnu, whose source is Krishna. And by his mercy only can anything be properly maintained in this world. So this is a very, very difficult situation we're living in. When we come to Krishna consciousness, in one sense, coming to Krishna consciousness is like boarding a chariot. And that chariot is meant to take us across all the illusions of material existence and bring us back to spiritual abode. The Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada in his purport, describes, quoting from the Upanishads, that this body is like a chariot. And the five senses are like the five horses that are pulling this chariot. The mind is like the reins that are supposed to control the horses, and the intelligence is the charioteer. And the passenger is the jivatma. Now, when our intelligence is being directed through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, or by Krishna, through this medium, then the intelligence will somehow or other struggle and strive to do what's really good for the soul. That means hold on to those reins and control those five senses and keep them always going in the right direction toward Krishna. Now, the impersonal philosophies, they want to destroy the reins and destroy the horses, and therefore the soul doesn't go anywhere. He's just in a void. But we want to utilize our senses, utilize our mind, and utilize our intelligence to take us to Krishna. Rishikena Rishikesa Sevanam Bhakti Rishi. In today's society, we can try to use an example that modernizes this analogy, because nobody drives on chariots anymore. The best medium of traveling is by the aeroplane. Yes? The quickest way to get wherever you are. Now, recently in India, a very intense, tragic experience took place, which was the biggest news in the entire planet Earth. End of December, just before the inauguration of the year 2000, there was an aeroplane that went, it was meant to go from Kathmandu to Delhi. But it was hijacked, Hare Krishna. And it was brought to Kandahar in Afghanistan. And those people on that plane, how they were suffering, how they were trapped helplessly. There was nothing they could do. Hare Krishna. So this aeroplane of material life, or chariot, is meant to bring us to Krishna's abode. That is exclusive purpose, atato brahma jigyasa. And we take to Krishna consciousness specifically to utilize this human life to go back home, back to Godhead. And right now we're on the journey. However, we should know that Maya, material illusory energy, she is like a very, very expert group of terrorists. And she has unlimited terrorist agents who are everywhere, who are going to try to somehow or other get in your mind through your senses and hijack the airplane of your human life and take it to the Kandahar of material bondage, birth after birth after birth. But once you're hijacked, and it's a very, very helpless condition, Maya is trying to hijack your life at every moment. But what is the solution? According to all the governments of the world, the solution is very strong, attentive security. The way those hijackers got in was inattentive security. What is our security? Srila Prabhupada has explained. You must chant at least 16 rounds every day.
from our sadhana very attentively. And we must follow these four regulative principles. Prabhupada said if we simply do these things and avoid offending Vaishnavas, it's guaranteed we will go back to Godhead in this life. But if we don't, then there is insufficient security. Then at any moment, Maya could send her hijackers in the form of lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, and illusion into our minds, into our senses, and take the journey back home, back to Godhead, off track. We see how so easily we can just go off track. Sometimes the passengers don't even know that they're being hijacked until it's too late. There are so many alternatives to Krishna consciousness in this world. There's artha, kama, dhamma, moksha, religion. There's all kinds of new brands of spirituality. There's basic gross sense gratification, subtle sense gratification. We must be very, very careful. The Prabhupada is like the captain of the ship. If we just keep his instructions always very, very alive in our lives, with great attention, then Maya has no power to overcome us. So Maharaj Pariksit, when he got this news, he wanted this chariot of his human life to go back to Krishna. He considered that it was very auspicious. Because after all, death could come at any moment to anyone. He was going to die in 7 days. That was his destiny. Srila Prabhupada explained, we don't know any one of us that we have any more than 7 days to live. Here in Bombay, you are probably the number one or two targets of the nuclear bombs that Pakistan happens to have their fingers upon the buttons of. We don't know. At any moment, all it means is one person just has to push a button and this city is blown up. Hare Krishna. What to speak of tidal waves and cyclones and earthquakes? What to speak of one little germ coming into our heart? Recently, one devotee told me that another devotee was criticizing him and said, you're useless, you're harmless. He was telling other people, this person is just like a mosquito, what could he do? I was thinking, in this world, mosquitoes could do a lot. One little mosquito bites you and you could die within days. What is that, cerebral malaria? So many terrible things. Life is so uncertain. But yet the illusion is, as Maharaj Yudhisthira has said, that everything is all right. I know that death will come, but I have plenty of time. But Maharaj Pariksit, it is explained, he got the information in time. It's coming soon. He was preparing his whole life for that purpose. When he was a little embryo in the womb of his mother, he saw the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama coming to kill him. And his mother prayed to Krishna, Uttara, please save my child. and even the child in the womb, seeing death imminently coming, the spirit soul naturally turns to Krishna. And Krishna then saved him. So he understood that death can come anywhere, at any place, at any time. And only Krishna could save us. When he was just a child, instead of playing with toys, he worshipped deities. This is Parikshit Maharaj. But still, in the affairs of taking care of the state, in the service of Krishna exclusively, still there's naturally some diversions of the consciousness. But when he heard this news, exclusively he wanted to absorb his mind in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. He did not want those hijackers of Maya to take his soul to another destination. He wanted to go back to Krishna in this very life. And he was so humble, sitting on the bank of the Ganges with a vow to fast till death from all food, drink, or sleep. He inquired, "What should I do? Please give me your blessings." And it was the decision, you should simply hear the glories of Krishna for the next 7 days. Who is going to speak? At that moment, by Krishna's inconceivably merciful arrangement, Shukadeva Goswami appeared. He had recently heard the whole Srimad Bhagavatam in its essence from Srila Vyasadeva. But Shukadeva Goswami, he would just roam around silent. He would not speak to anyone, unless they were eager to hear. The common people thought he was a fool. They thought he was some kind of insane madman because he wasn't wearing proper clothes. He wasn't speaking to anyone. But as soon as he saw it, Maharaj Parikshit was eager to perfect his life by hearing about Krishna. Shukadeva Goswami expressed the unlimited love of God that was in his heart. That eagerness to hear was Parikshit Maharaj's qualification. And Srila Prabhupada puts great emphasis that we must be eager to hear like Parikshit, but we must hear from the proper source, who is coming in the chain of disciplic succession. How much emphasis Srila Prabhupada and all of our acharyas put on this point, that real truth comes through parampara. We can get information that may be useful in our devotional service from other sources, but actually the direction and philosophy of life that is so critical to our future in Krishna consciousness is depending on hearing specifically from the representatives of our parampara. And of course, in Kali Yuga, the tendency of human intelligence is to take the most sacred things very ordinary or cheaply. Well, maybe 5,000 years ago, it was important that Parikshit Maharaj hear from a representative of parampara. But these days, we have our computerized communications, and there is such a modernistic world. And we take this idea of parampara to be something relative. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada is constantly bringing this truth to our hearts. Sanatana Goswami, who Prabhupada quotes hundreds of times in his books on a particular sloka. Sanatana Goswami is quoting from Padma Purana that one should not hear the truth about the absolute goal of life, Krishna consciousness, from someone who is not a Vaishnava, a devotee. Because hearing from them is like taking milk that has been touched by the lips of a serpent. Even if they have all good intentions. Why? Because when a person speaks, their consciousness is impregnating the sound vibration that you hear. And if a person's consciousness is mixed with materialistic conceptions or motivations, their final conclusion is not pure, unalloyed devotional service, then either in a gross or in a subtle way, your intelligence will be hijacked by misunderstandings that will redirect your goal in life into other places other than pure devotional service to Krishna. Therefore, this is the safe path, the secure path. Prabhupada explains, we must hear from the representatives of Suta Goswami, Shukadeva Goswami, whose final and ultimate goal in life is pure, unalloyed devotional service to the personality of Godhead. Some people speak Ram Katha, Krishna Katha, and they say everything that sounds just right. But if their intention is to merge into the impersonal Brahman, thinking that ultimately this katha is an illusion, ultimately the Lord is an illusion, these are all just the means by which we become extricated from material illusion, and then we can merge into the homogeneous oneness of the Absolute. They may be telling the stories of Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam exactly as it's stated, but if their intention is impersonal liberation, then that is the effect that the stories will have in your heart, is to disturb your mood for devotional service, to compromise your conviction that you are the eternal servant of Krishna. That sense of enjoyment will awaken in your heart. Therefore, Prabhupada is here expressing very strongly that we must hear in Parampara, and we must have that eagerness of Parikshit Maharaj. We must understand that death can come at any moment, and the real success or failure of our life is what happens at that moment of death. Antakali chabhame vasmaranu atlakaleva yaprayati samadbhavam yati yastrati samshaya. So let us try to maintain very attentive and high security in this valuable human life, and travel on the sure road back home, back to Godhead, by always remembering Krishna in the association of his wonderful devotees, hearing his glories, chanting his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Are there any questions or comments that anyone would like to make? Yes, Maharaji.
accepting only that's good and rejecting that's not good? A question everybody asks.
If one is fixed in the conclusions of the true acharyas, and one's mind does not waver from that conclusion, then yes, everything in creation and everyone in creation is reconfirming and teaching you more and more and more about what your conclusion is. That is a fact. When a person speaks all nonsense, we learn what is ignorance. The phenomena of this world, the news, the current events, there's so many messages to reconfirm the Krishna conscious philosophy. So we can always have our hearts open for reconfirmations, for further realizations. But what is important is that what is the truth? Who is the truth? Krishna. And how to achieve him through devotion. We must become very, very fixed in that. And there is no, it is very dangerous to be seeking spiritual enlightenment from many different spiritual paths. We have seen even wonderful devotees, how they lose their conception of pure devotional service. Therefore, actually, we should be very, very fixed in what Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas have taught us. As far as what we need for spiritual enlightenment. And everything around us in the world that we come in contact with, we should always be using our good rational thinking to understand how this is confirming, how this is giving me deeper realization of that. We want to use the things in this world for Krishna service, but we have to be very, very careful that the things in this world do not distract us from Krishna service. Therefore, we must have nice association, we must be hearing from the right sources, we must keep nice sadhana. It's very important, otherwise we get carried away, even with all good intentions. Srila Prabhupada explains in Bhagavatam, it describes that one must come to the mode of goodness before one can transcend the modes of material nature. So there are other ideologies or teachings that are trying to bring us to that mode of goodness. They may speak in the mode of goodness, but their conclusion is oftentimes confused or impersonal beyond that mode of goodness. So by trying to take those things from them and giving our hearts, we may come more to the mode of goodness, but our faith and conviction and determination to go beyond the modes of nature may be destroyed. But in Krishna consciousness, in the line of Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand coming to the mode of goodness is only a means, a stepping stone to transcend the modes of material nature and render pure, unalloyed devotional service to Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. And if we come to the mode of goodness in that line, then we will certainly transcend. So many people are teaching charity and honesty and all these things, which we should do. And we can see they're doing very good. I should do better. I should be better myself. So we can We can see that, and we can take some inspiration. But we should not put our heart there. Because their idea of being honest and nice and charitable may be karmakandic, or it may be impersonal, or it may just be confused. We don't want it to sit in the mode of goodness. Because even if you attain the mode of goodness, the modes are always fighting against each other. It's just a matter of time till you're dragged down again to the mode of ignorance. Abrahma bhuvana loka punarabhatana arjuna mamupetita kaunteya punarjanmanamiti. We want to be honest, we want to be gentle, we want to be compassionate, we want all these qualities of goodness to be used specifically and exclusively in the devotional service of Lord Hari. And in order to have that faith and that disposition, we have to be hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of those who are trying to embody the Srimad. Does that answer your question? Is there any other questions or comments? Yes, Mataji? What is the time?
Is there a time? Bhakti when airplane is fighting, it is very hard to be straight on the curve all the time. You can't lift up and down left and right and like this and try to catch the straight curve all the time. So same with when I think about my specialized, it's hard for me to be always so much straight and always up and down, always up.
Understand the question? How to stay on the straight course? Is that your question?
So, airplane is not going straight at some point. It's going a little bit like this. It's trying to catch this curve. So, today in our spiritual life, I'm speaking about my case. It's not that I'm going like this all the time. There are doubts in my life,
everything.
So, how to come back all the time on the right
course? There will be turbulence, no doubt, in this flight back to Godhead. There will be much turbulence. There will be much resistance. We have to very faithfully follow the process of Krishna consciousness. But in a very real and sincere way. Prabhupada did not want just ritualistic, mechanical followers. We're supposed to be humble servants. Even strictly following, Rupa Goswami explains, one of the reasons for fall down is following the rules and regulations simply for the sake of the rules and regulations without actually understanding the spirit behind it. Someone could be chanting and coming to Mangal Arati and reading Srimad Bhagavatam and learning thousands and thousands of slokas and doing all kinds of wonderful Herculean feats in his devotional service and become very proud. Instead of becoming humble and soft-hearted, becoming proud and hard-hearted and offensive to others. What are you doing? I am like this. What is she? What is he? This person is not it. Even if devotee falls down, we may preach something to enlighten others, but our hearts should be weeping for that person.
We shouldn't be glad. We should be weeping. When devotees would fall from the principles, Prabhupada would, there's many stories where he would hear about it. He would cry. So the tendency to not find fault in others is the actual symptom that you're making real, that you're really following the process properly. You give up the tendency to find faults in others. You develop more and more of a spirit to serve, to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. This is the spirit of a Vaishnava. So we should follow very, very strictly the regulative principles of Krishna consciousness with this spirit. Otherwise, I think many of us have seen devotees who are very staunch and very strict and very egoistic and offensive. And how long do they go on with their strictness till Krishna steals away their intelligence? So we have to have the right spirit. And that spirit is embodied within our books. Trinadapi suniche natarodapi sahishnana amani namana dena kirtaniya sadhari. We simply want to be the servant of the servant. We want to become more humble. We want to become more surrendered. We want to become more pure. We want to please Krishna. We want to please Guru. We want to please the devotees. Therefore, I'm chanting very attentively. Therefore, I'm following these principles. Therefore, I'm doing this service. So if you have the proper motivation, and with that motivation, of trying to be a humble, dedicated lover of God and His devotees, and a compassionate instrument in Guru's hands. If we have that motivation, and we're strictly following the regulative principles of Krishna consciousness, turbulence will come, but Maya will have no power to take our flight off course. I'm going home back to Godhead. When you commit offenses, it's like you're letting Maya plant bombs somewhere. And it's going to go off sooner or later and cause great difficulty. I think time is finished, so I want to thank you for tolerating me very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Radharas Bihari ji ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivrinda ki jai.